Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about WWDC 2017, which is Worldwide Developer Conference, which is Apple's second biggest event of the year. So Apple spoke about iOS 11, a new iPad, a new gadget called HomePod, apart from MacBook upgrades, and something about the iMac as well. So there are a lot of things to talk about, and we have our resident Apple enthusiast, Rishi Alwani.
Hey.
And we also have our editor-in-chief, that's Kunal Dua.
Hello, everyone.
And as usual, I'm your host, Pranay Parab. So I think we should start by talking about iOS 11, because that's obviously the one thing that everyone looks forward to at WWDC 2017. So Kunal, do you want to start by talking about what like struck out to you the most? And since you installed it already on one of your devices, what's the first thing that you noticed in the new OS?
Yeah, so I think the biggest changes are obviously on the iPad in terms of where they've completely reimagined how things should be, especially on when you're multitasking or when you're running multiple apps side by side, how information is exchanged with apps. But even when you install it on the iPhone, there are quite a few things that do stand out. The biggest change, of course, is I think the control center, which people will notice, and it's completely revamped. There are no longer multiple screens of the control center, and once you swipe up, and you could earlier swipe left and right, and you could see the various options. Now you still can swipe right to see the widgets on the left and the left part of the screen, but you now, all the other controls, the music and the brightness and everything else, now it just appears on one simple screen. When I was seeing the demo in the keynote, it didn't really look at it, it didn't really seem that way. But now that I've installed it on my device and I'm actually using it, the control center actually looks like a giant remote. And I'm not sure if I still don't know how I feel about it. It's I think pretty early in the game to know whether I'm liking it or not. But it's quite a change. And one great the best thing about for me there is about Control Center is that now there is a toggle for mobile data right there, cellular data.
Mm.
So that's probably the thing I do most often on my phone. Like I know. Once I go on Wi-Fi, it's not using cellular data, but I'm still used to toggling it off when I'm on Wi-Fi. So for somebody like me, and I'm guessing there are a few others like me out there, this option is really, is going to be a great, it's going to be great to have this.
And it's also customizable, isn't it?
Yeah, it's customizable. So those controls, Wi-Fi, mobile data, and Bluetooth and flight mode are not customizable, but the options that used to appear at the bottom earlier, the torch and the camera and things like that. So that bit is customizable. And so you can go to settings and you can decide whether you want the torch there or not. For example, you don't use the torch or the camera or so things like that. That is customizable. And one of the options, in fact, there is a brand new option called screen recording. So iOS 11 now has built-in support for screen recording, which is great for people like us who do a lot of produce a lot of content around, where we need to show people what to do in iOS.
Mm.
So this is great that we have now native support. Earlier we had to resort to third-party apps. So there are quite a few options, even on the iPhone, like I said. But yeah, I think the biggest changes are on the iPad. In case people didn't see the keynote, you can now drag and drop between apps. There's a completely revamped way of running the app. So you could run apps side by side, but it was really clumsy to select apps, which apps could run on the left and the right. Now Apple has added a macOS-like dock on the iPad. So it's becoming a lot more like desktop. So it's become much easier to launch apps. It's become much easier to interchange data between apps. So I think if you've been, if you're somebody who has an iPad who has probably forgotten about his you've forgotten about your iPad, and this might be a good time to dust it off and install the beta and check it out.
Yeah. Rishi, how do you feel about the screen recording option? Because I believe since you write about games, that could be a big feature for you.
Yeah, it's actually nice to see that I won't have to resort to getting screen recording of a game on Android anymore, because the iOS versions usually play better anyway. And secondly, it's also interesting to see that a lot of the improvements on iOS 11 for the iPad, if you look at the time it's coming, it's quite amusing, because I think we've had a period where the iPad sales have essentially flatlined to a large degree, and Apple's renewed focus on iOS 11 for the iPad is basically a signal of intent where, okay, fine, we pioneered the category and we're going to see it through. So I think it's a welcome rearguard action of sorts, where they're actually bringing software to the table and not just throwing an improved SoC at a problem. So it's heartening to see.
Yeah, and there are some people like friend of the podcast Mikhail who absolutely love their iPads, and they, I would say, would eventually want to even like replace their primary work computer with the iPad, or their primary maybe portable gaming console is the iPad. So for a lot of these people, it was actually pretty good to see that Apple cares about the iPad side of things. And also, since Google has literally nothing going on right now for tablets, this is probably a good time to really step up the focus on that segment and like nail that part of the market entirely. And since we are speaking about it, Kunal, do you want to talk about the new iPad Pro 10.5 inch which they announced?
Yeah, so I think even on a similar theme that you mentioned, that people are looking to replace their laptops, right? So I think one big change which I kind of forgot to mention was the introduction of this Files app.
Hmm.
Wherein they're acknowledging that, okay, I think iOS, when it initially launched, the idea was, files are a dated concept, it's a confusing concept, people want to deal with documents, and let's not talk about files, documents will live within certain apps. But the introduction of files is like a realization that, okay, people are used to this model, it's maybe not as complicated as Apple thought it is. And it is something that people are used to, and people want to deal with files. So this Files app lets you obviously browse your iCloud data and type files that are stored there. And it also lets you, if you've added a Dropbox or a Google Drive, I think Apple even talked about OneDrive and Box and all these. So any of these services, you can easily drag and drop files from one service to the other. So it's you can create tags and favorites and all that. So it's like in many ways continuing the whole theme of dock and bringing the desktop to the iPad. So it's in a way many people compared it to what Microsoft has been doing with Windows 10, bringing the tablet and the PC together. So this seems to be Apple's approach of going around that. And yeah, the 10.5 inch iPad Pro, in that sense, it's something that people have been wanting for a while. I think it's been it's been quite a while, probably 18 months since the original iPad Pro was introduced, and a few months later these smaller iPad Pro was launched. So in people have been waiting for a refresh of this hardware, so it's a much needed refresh. And I personally, I've used both the iPad Pros, I personally have found the 12.9 inch one to be a little bit too big for day-to-day use, but I know a few people who love their iPad Pros. So if you've been waiting for something which is a bit more handy but has all that power, I think this one is really for you. But other than that, I think the big change is there are a few changes, like the 120 hertz refresh rate, the faster scanning with the Apple Pencil. I wouldn't say there are any groundbreaking upgrades there. But if you've been in the market for an iPad Pro waiting for a refresh, I think Apple has probably done everything that they could. I mean, you can't probably expect more with this tablet. Apple has delivered on all counts, really.
Yeah, exactly. The software changes were more important for the enthusiast crowd anyway, and that seems to be happening as well. So, Rishi, from a gaming standpoint, do you see this iPad Pro as being good thing, or is it still too expensive for it to be for it to reach the masses?
Well, I wouldn't consider the iPad, at least in India, a mass market product just yet. But what is intriguing is the refresh rate, because for the longest time, a lot of games, even on PC, the gold standard, if you will, was 60 hertz. Now we're seeing 144 hertz, we're seeing 120 hertz being a thing on PC, and possibly might see something similar on Xbox Scorpio. the fact that Apple's included a 120 Hz display on the iPad Pro does open up some interesting possibilities, because at the same time, you're already seeing games that could potentially take advantage of it. We've seen a slew of first-person and third-person shooters on the App Store of late. These include the likes of Subdivision Infinity. These include games like Deadheads. These include older first-person shooters as well, like what's that game? I'm just looking at my iPhone and telling you the name. Like Unkilled. So point is, there are, the software is already there, and if the developers see sense or figure that it makes sense to actually update their software to work on 120 Hz, we could see a smoother, better gameplay experience for a lot of people.
Yeah, that we definitely could. And since you're speaking about gaming as well, this is a developer-centric announcement, but I'm not sure how much of an impact it would have on games that are there in the store right now. But the Apple announced Metal 2, right, which is a framework for developing games. So could this lead to better-looking games in the future? Will it affect games that are there already in the store?
So while Apple announced Metal, I think, a couple of years ago, and now brought its new API with Metal 2, the bigger part of the equation was the fact that they're actually tying up with Steam for Steam VR, which essentially means you can use an HTC Vive headset on a Mac, which is unheard of. They also announced that you can use an external GPU with Macs, but then those are developer kits. It would be fun to see if Apple actually does an external GPU add-on for consumers. And they did announce that they will be supporting, Metal will support Unity and Unreal. That's a big deal, because a lot of games on iOS, a lot of games on PC, and a lot of games on Steam run on these two engines, Unity and Unreal. Now, it's another story altogether that some of Unity's own divisions, like Unity in India, for example, is focusing on non-gaming. But I think it's still a win-win going forward. It shows that Apple's paying attention to other forms of content like games, which, while it has been a hallmark, it has been a staple of iOS, it's nice to see that they're taking steps in that direction for gaming as well on the Mac. Now, whether developers come to the party or not, I think that will happen, simply because Apple's approach to storefronts is very different from what we've seen with Steam. It's very different from what we've seen with the Play Store. There's less of an emphasis on algorithms and more of an emphasis on human curation. And I think that's going to be the differentiator, because a lot of developers, especially from the game side of things, are always looking at new avenues to, you know, maximize revenue to reach a new audience. And considering, for most part, it is perceived that the iOS and Mac crowd is a sort who, you know, pays for games, who is willing to, you know, shell out money for content, I think it's a net win going forward.
Yeah. So, I mean, you obviously referred to the App Store in passing, right? So, I think there was a big redesign to the App Store's, storefront as well. So, I mean, before I ask Kunal to talk about all the changes in there, Rishi, how do you feel about the fact that games and apps are now separately listed under the top charts?
I think the update itself looks really nice. I like the redesign. Simply because if you look at the App Store right now, considering the screen size you're looking at it on, there's a good possibility you could feel overwhelmed. You could feel that it's overcluttered. The fact that the approach they're going with shows a single app at any point in time allows for a more focused, intense user experience, which I think works. The fact that they're even adding more content to each app, like tips and tricks or developer interviews, just enhances the appeal, in my opinion. Because you have to understand that for a lot of people, while in developed countries, the iPhone is quite ubiquitous. For countries like ours, we always keep getting requests, right? What app to download, what app to check out. This solves discoverability to a large degree, but at the same time also gives Apple, because it refreshes daily, it also gives Apple a chance to showcase more apps more often. So I think it's a net win. I think it's something that people would flock to. At least there will be some novelty appeal to this. It would be interesting to see how developers vie for a spot on the today's list, because that's the first thing people see, and how much of an impact that will have on their discoverability and revenue. But I think for consumers, it's a good call.
Yeah. So Kunal, I think Phil Schiller took over this the App Store sometime last year, if I'm not mistaken. And since then, we've seen quite a few changes, such as faster app review times. It doesn't take like 10 or 12 days for an update to be reviewed and put on the store anymore in most cases. And now we see this. So is his influence really showing, and is this a net win for the App Store?
I think it looks like that on the app review times. I think Shiller mentioned during the keynote today that it's probably down to a few hours, 1 to 2 hours for most apps, and a little bit more for most other apps. In terms of the App Store redesign, I think it looks really good. I've tried it out on both the iPhone and the iPad, and Rishi mentioned the focus is definitely on human, on curation by human editors. There's no algorithms at play here. I know for a fact that Apple has been ramping up hiring on the App Store side quite a bit. They've been getting people on board who have experience in terms of both writing and in terms of curation of apps. So it's, they've been focusing worldwide on this. So I think you'll see a lot of that coming through now that the when this revamped App Store goes live. And even just browsing through it, I think you can see that the focus is I heard somebody say that it has a magazine like feel, and I couldn't agree more. I think it's pretty much like that. You go through it. Today's apps list, and you can even, in fact, it's like it has almost like a timeline view, because once you scroll down, you'll see yesterday's pick and you'll see yesterday's list and things like that. So it definitely looks a lot better, but I think the focus will be now on curation, and on that featured spot becomes probably even more important. So I think you're probably going to be ringing your developer relations guy and saying, hey, when can I be featured? I think you'll see a lot more of that happening if you're an app developer.
Yeah, and it also puts in a lot of incentive on people really focusing on the design of their apps, because mostly the apps that get featured, either they have some new content, which seems to be a theme of late on the App Store, which is seasonal content. Like if it's Christmas, then you put some Christmas-related new levels or something like that. Or it's because the app has absolutely phenomenal design, and that's why it gets featured. So it's a nice thing that Apple is putting that emphasis on curation once again. And speaking of all of these App Store and iOS related things, I think it's about time that we moved on from software to hardware. And the one big hardware announcement for me, at least, was the HomePod. Now, strangely named gadget, but Kunal, I believe you checked it out in person, right? I couldn't make out much from the keynote video how good it sounds and all. So I think you'll be able to tell us more about it.
So I saw it in person. I've not heard the demo yet. I think a few journalists got a chance to, had their chance with it today. I've not had it yet. But from based on what they were saying, I mean, the audio is apparently, really, really good. It's from what they say, the audio files should be really happy. But I think let's wait until we test it out as well. But it's clear. I think if you look at Apple's keynote, the way they're positioning it, everybody thought Apple is going to release an Alexa and Google Home competitor. But if you listen to their pitch, they've carefully positioned it as a speaker, and then the smart functionality, so as to say, is just almost like an afterthought. So they are clearly positioning this as a premium speaker. They're not, even though surprisingly, I think this came as a bit of a surprise, because Apple doesn't usually do this. Shiller actually name checked both Sonos and the Amazon Alexa, mm-hmm. The Amazon Echo, so which was a bit of a surprise. But so it's clear that I think they're going probably more for the Sonos and the Bose and the premium speaker market. And the other parts seem to be almost like an afterthought, though clearly not. I think we'll hear more about that story later in the year when the developer ecosystem is ready, because the idea of announcing this product, so it's not shipping till December, I believe. And so the idea was to give the developers a heads up so they can start developing stuff around this particular product. So I think it's going to be a really interesting product. So obviously at $349, it's not exactly as affordable as the Google Home or the Amazon Echo either. But then again, like I said, they're going for the premium speaker market. So in that sense, it's not too expensive. So let's see how this, and obviously there's no if you're in India, there's no release date for India yet. I think December is for US, UK, and Australia, I believe. So if you're in India, your wait will continue for a while. So let's see how this pans out.
Yeah, and also let's hope that it's not perennially out of stock like AirPods are. And also that it's actually a smart move to pitch it as a premium speaker, because frankly speaking, we all know that Siri is not yet as good as the Google Assistant, the voice part of it, or Amazon's Echo. And also the fact that it almost is like double the price of the Echo. It's a good thing that they're not pitching it as like a direct competitor to that. But those who want a premium speaker in their house, a nice wireless thingy that can play music and listen to your commands and maybe understand one in five of them. Fair goes. So hopefully Apple is also working on improving Siri in the meantime. Because if that doesn't work properly, it's going to lead to a lot of jokes online, which frankly, I don't think Apple wants to see. Alright, so Rishi, briefly, do you want to talk about all the augmented reality stuff that was announced at the keynote?
Yes, so Apple decided to finally wade into the lovely, brave new world of augmented reality with the AR kit. So they showed off Pokemon Go. And how you can use your phone's camera to, you know, make your Pokemon look more lifelike. It's something I think that Pranay you'll actually want to do when you get back and play Pokemon Go again. They also showed off something from Peter Jackson's Wing AR, which also looked pretty cool. And yeah, it's a very the approach to AR here is quite it's quite divergent from what we've seen other companies do. Where in Google's case, the use case for AR and tracking to that degree was to help you find a screw in a hardware shop. Here the emphasis seems to be around creating experiences that allow you to, you know, make Pikachu come to life. So I think the approach is, I mean, it's an interesting it's a novelty approach, and I think they've obviously gone with this because they want to inspire developers, right? And what developers come up with this going forward will be where the meat and potatoes lie for something like this to take off.
Yeah, so I'm asking you to speculate. Do you see that, I mean, there's some kind of hardware that Apple has planned which they could not announce at this keynote and which could come later based on the AR announcements at least? Or does that seem like too far-fetched at this point?
I don't think it's too far-fetched. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see something like, I don't know, like if you look at it in a lot of spaces, right? Local cooperative gameplay has made a comeback of sorts. What's stopping an AR layer to combine with that and a free-to-play app along with the right hardware to play it? I mean, September is the right time for stuff like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so let's see. Let's hope for the best.
I think while we're on the subject, let's also mention that Apple finally has Macs that can run your VR gear, which is, I think, until yesterday, it was if you wanted to, you know, run any kind of a VR setup with your computer, PCs were your only option. They're literally even Apple's most expensive, multiple thousands of dollars Mac could not run, you know, your Oculus or any of those VR setups. So now I think Apple has changed that. The latest Macs should be able to run at least some of them. I think the iMacs can do that now. And Apple has even, in fact, released a developer kit for their own, you know, for developers to develop apps around this. So I think that's a great and, like, frankly, overdue move.
Yeah. And Pro hardware, I believe Apple also announced that something new is coming up, right, in terms of the Mac Pro.
Yep.
Yeah. So I think we already heard earlier this year Apple had invited the Fab 5 select bunch of journalists and briefed them about the future of the Mac Pro and told them that they're working on a Mac Pro which will be coming out not next. I mean, they didn't say next year; they said not this year, which everybody presumed to mean that it will be next year. And I think today they said, "Yeah, we are working on it." And they did announce another Pro hardware with. I think they said at the time that iMac Pro will be coming as well. Mm-hmm. So today we got the details of that iMac Pro. We got the list of specifications and we got a price and we got a release date. So I repeat this, it starts at $5,000. And it goes, or you can, you know, configure up to an 18-core CPU in it, and all 4 TB SSD, and I think, what, 64 GB RAM, if I'm not wrong.
128.
128, is it? Okay.
Yeah, it's insane. It's insane. But and which is quite amusing, because even yesterday when we talked about it on our live feed, we had a lot of people asking whether it made sense to, you know, to go for that, surprisingly, versus a similar spec Windows machine that would be half the price. And yeah, it seems to have at least captured some audience recall, because a lot of them were actually gearing towards an iMac Pro.
Yeah, I mean, based on the comparison, Apple suggested that, you know, a similar spec Windows machine will be a lot more expensive. But I mean, yeah, you don't expect them to say otherwise. I think we'll have to do our own math to figure that out.
Yeah.
So lots of name checking going on in the keynote. Wasn't there? I mean, obviously their annual iOS is installed on 86% of devices, and Android is installed only on like 7%. I mean, the latest version that happened. Then Kunal, you mentioned that they name checked Sonos and Echo, and also right now they also mentioned Windows. So it's kind of strange. I mean, knowing the Apple of old, that would not happen. But well, good, I guess.
I think that Android stat is their favorite. We always have one of those in the. They usually open with something like that, and I think that's fair game. I think that's one thing Apple does have, that even if you have like a 4 or 5 year old phone, you'll get the update the same day as the you know, the newest phone. So I think it's only fair that they brag about that, honestly.
Yeah. And also, Rishi, checked out the iMac Pro. First of all, love the space gray version. And secondly, I noticed that they mentioned something about AMD Vega graphics card. It's the Pro series, the Radeon Pro Vega. So do we know anything at all about this? Or is it just something that's, you know, like totally vaporware at this point?
Well, it's a lot of things at this point. Vega was supposed to be shown off and discussed at length at, I think, GDC or CES. But AMD's taken its own time. It's essentially, Vega is their new high-end GPUs that'll be coming to both Windows and, yes, now you can see in the iMac Pro. They have stated that the performance is the best out there, and that's something they will say, obviously. We won't know till we see it in hand, till we actually get access to it. And the other iMacs are using the RX 580, RX 560, which are mid-range GPUs running a slightly older architecture. So, and Vega has been in the works for, I think, close to 5 years, because that's how long AMD's older architecture has essentially lasted, with a few minor tweaks here and there. So will it turn out to be everything it's supposed to be? Well, personally, I hope so, because I mean, a lot of us are due for a GPU upgrade, and Vega hopefully should deliver. But it also goes, AMD itself were also quite keen on the announcement. You know, they've been talking about it today, that yeah, the iMac Pro is getting Vega and stuff like that. But for the end consumer, I don't know how much of a difference it'll make. Because at the end of it, you still have NVIDIA that has a majority share in GPU. So for developers as well, if they had to choose what to optimize first, it's probably going to be something for an AMD for an NVIDIA GPU.
Yeah. All right. So
by the way, the space gray iMac Pro looks really good in person. I think I know it's just a color, but the keyboard, the trackpad, etc., and yeah, Apple. It's like a typical Apple product, and it looks really good.
Yeah, nice. So
I just had to get that out there.
I don't know, man. Waiting for the product red rose gold version. Those would be really cool.
Yes, you should totally get the rose gold iMac Pro.
All right. So before we wrap up this episode, I think we should all talk about one feature that we really liked from iOS 11, or whatever else was your favorite thing in the keynote. So I'll go first. I saw that they have this new automatic setup thing. For example, if you have one iPhone and you buy a new iPhone or an iPad, so all you have to do is basically hold it next to your current iOS device, and it'll transfer all the data, preferences, everything from that onto the new one. This is exactly how setting up an Apple Watch works. So they're bringing it to other Apple devices as well. So that's kind of great news for anybody who is kind of going into the ecosystem. And since that is one of the biggest benefits of the Apple walled garden, so to say, the ecosystem, everything just clicks and everything just works seamlessly with all the other devices in the ecosystem. This is one of my favorite features. Kunal, do you want to go next?
I think for me, it has to be the multitasking and the pro features, it's so-called, on the iPad. I think it's great to see Apple doing that. It's in many ways, like I said, it's you know, the introduction of Dock and the introduction of Files, especially, is almost like a step back for Apple, because the entire idea of iOS 2 was to move away from Files. But I think it's a realization that those concepts, the concept of a file, for example, is central to computing, and it's not going away anytime soon. So it's better to embrace it and to give it to users in a form that they can be really productive. So I think I'm really happy to see that.
Rishi?
Well, a bunch of things, really. One is obviously the store update, which I think looks really nice. Can't wait to see that hit and try it out when that hits. And the AR kit, definitely, because there is a lot of potential to do some very interesting things with Apple's way of implementing it. And finally, and yeah, this is probably a minor thing, and I'm sure most people would probably hate it more than they like it, is the fact that Apple's removing third-party social media integration. Personally, I'm not a fan of that, and I hated that I had to do that to use certain apps, so I'm happy that's out of the way. But yeah, mainly on the software.
Yeah. Kunal, I thought you'd be speaking about the network bars, which are back.
Oh yeah, I really like that visually.
Why?
I hate those circles. I don't understand. I saw that, and once I installed the update, I was really happy to see the network bar. Network bars should, I think they make it very clear immediately. The reason I like is that, you know, what kind of signal do you have? I think looking at the circles, it probably wasn't always explicitly clear. And I think another thing that I noticed people sharing is that NFC has now been opened up in iOS 11. So I think I don't really use it a lot, but I think just for people who use NFC for maybe pairing with their speakers or for whatever other reasons, I think Apple is now opening up NFC for beyond Apple Pay. So I think some people would be happy to hear that.
Yeah, and also they have that SMS fraud prevention extension or whatever. So apparently you can finally get rid of all those spam SMSs that you get. Especially people in India, all those stock market tips and other nonsense. So clearly they've opened some kind of a developer API for that, and you can probably install apps that help you get rid of fraud and spam messages. So yeah, thumbs up for that. All right, so that's all we have for this episode of Orbital, and we will see you with another episode next week. For this episode, we do apologize for the slightly lower sound quality. We really had to jury-rig this episode to get it going. And as always, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. And you can always email us with your questions, comments, and feedback at podcast@gadgets360.com. Thanks for listening.